The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Glory to you, Lord Christ. Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea, across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region in the shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
I love when our lectionary for the week works out with a message that we all need to hear. I call it a God thingy. It's a very theological term, you know, God thingy. The name that I see when I see God's hand on the details of our life. And I figured if Hunter Clark, our new candidate for vestry, could say that we are Jesus-y, I can say God thingy. Thanks, Hunter. Thank you for giving me permission to do my technology, my theological big words, God thingy. Now, normally I preach on the gospel reading, but today Paul's letter to the church in Corinth really spoke to me. And Paul starts his letter this way. "Now I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you be in agreement, and there be no division among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same purpose." That sounds like great words, not only for wisdom for the early church, but relevant to our church today. And I'm talking Big C Church, not just our church. I find it funny that throughout the years, we've come a long way culturally and economically and, literacy development over the years since Paul's time. But we still face issues that plague the early church: division among its members. Today is our annual meeting after our service today. And it's a time to look at what we have accomplished over the year, this past year, to elect some new leaders and to set a vision of where we are headed in the future. If ever we needed a time of unity and agreement, the time is now. Division destroys, disrupts, and leaves brokenness in its wake. Now, does that mean that we have to agree on everything? No, Unity in Christ does not mean that we are clones. As I told the kids, we're not clones of each other. But we have, as Paul points out, the same mind and the same purpose. What does Paul mean by that, same mind and same purpose? Well, let me give you an illustration from growing up. My mom was a stickler for doing things her way. I've told you stories about my mom. God bless her heart. For me, on the other hand, I was always looking for a more efficient way to accomplish a task. That was how I was wired from very early on and kind of into the future. I mean, that's what I do. My mom and I would clash over the simplest things like peeling vegetables. You know, who wants to take a lot of time peeling vegetables? I certainly didn't. And so I came up with a faster way, but it causes division over vegetables. Okay, come on. Paul was pretty clear that baptism and leadership were already an issue in the early Christian community. Church members were squabbling over who would lead them, who they were following. Paul had learned from Chloe's household that the church members were divided into factions that were quarreling with one another. Each group claims one of the famous teachers of the church to authenticate their ideas. Some claim Paul, some claimed Apollos, some claimed Cephas or Peter, and some claimed Christ. The result was a growing division and this new faith with Jesus Christ as the head. The differences that divided Christians were not really of interest to Paul. Different interpretations and different styles of worship were to be expected. But Paul called for a sense of common agreement on substantial issues. We may not disagree, but on the peripheral issues, or we may disagree on that, but we can be of the same mind and core on things that are really important. This division in the church caused Paul to offer three rhetorical questions. The first one was, has Christ been divided? Certainly, Paul's question points to the central argument against division in the church. Paul, in another letter to the church in Ephesus, in Ephesians, in chapter 4, he says this, there is one body, one spirit, just as you are called to be one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. Christ is one as we are one in him. Therefore, how we handle our life together should reflect the oneness we have in Christ. We should do nothing to promote division. In our relationships with other Christians, we should focus on the core beliefs that unite us. What really matters is our common experience of Christ. In the second question, using himself as an example, Paul asks, was Paul crucified for you? An absurd question, which the answer is no. Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? Through these three questions, though obviously absurd answers, Paul points to the absurdity of our divisions. Paul did not come to Corinth to form the Paul denomination. I didn't come to Christ the King to form the Anita denomination. He did not come to promote his own ministry. Paul was one who was sent, an apostle of Jesus Christ. After these questions and a little rant on Paul's part, he likes to rant sometimes, he says this, for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to proclaim the gospel, and not with eloquent wisdom, so that the cross of Christ may not be emptied of his power. That's why I can use the word God thingy. I don't need eloquent wisdom. God does that. So what are we to do? Paul points us to the answer in his letter to the Ephesians, the oneness of body in Christ, and our fellowship was understood as a gift from God resulting of a dwelling in God and God in them. The Ephesians' strength and their bond with one another was not achieved by human effort or wisdom alone. It was not something that comes from the way that the church was organized or the fellowship of its members. It comes from their relationship to God and with God. As we move forward as a church, we need to keep this ever present in our minds. The good news of Jesus Christ is to spread when we see that we live and act differently. There can be a unity in Christ. No one wants to join a church that is in conflict with each other. Anybody really want to come to church and fight with everybody in the pews? I don't. I'm sure you don't. We are the face of Christ for those who walk through the doors of Christ the King. What do they see? God prays for us to be united with each other in Christ. But in order to do this, we must keep our relationship with God first and with each other second. A task that we must continually work on, and it's not an easy task at all, but that's what God calls us to do. This weekend, we meet together for our annual parish meeting, and in the midst of a nation in conflict, God asks us this day to rise above the conflict and to find unity in Christ. As we move forward as a church, may we be draw closer to God and each other, united in Christ. How we accomplish this task may look different to some, so stay open and be flexible to the Spirit's leading. I know flexibility is not the middle name of Episcopalians, but we need to be flexible. That is what we have to hear other people's ideas. We have to be able to continue to talk to each other. And when we do that, we are united in Christ. Amen.